Hi, Drew and Jonathan Scott here.
Reminding you that a lot of life's firsts are better with help from American Family Insurance.
Like your first home expansion.
Or your first big lightning strike.
There's a first for everything. Get the right home policy at the right price with the right help from American Family's agents.
Life's better when you're under American Family's roof. Insure carefully, dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Steel Magnolias. Two sisters who love family, traditions, and all things Southern. We've got plenty of room at our table, so pull up a chair.
Hi, Laura Beth.
Hey, Lainey. So I have a new happy place in my home.
Oh, do tell.
Do you remember when we were driving? I don't remember what, it's been not too long ago, and we saw that chair on the side of the road.
Yes. I was a passenger, you were the driver, and we both saw it.
I mean, we were just right around the corner from my house, but it was one of those moments where I was like, is that chair seriously?
Are they moving? And they just, it just now fell off the truck?
Yeah.
It was this lovely tufted chair.
Yeah, yeah.
But like you could cream color. See like a stain.
Well, once I got out, I was like, there's got to be some sort of like major, you know, gash in the back of this or something.
Legs are cute.
Just like, a stain. I mean, it was more than...
It was a, what on the maybe, seat, yeah, too, so...
More than
it's not like
they,
you could cover it because it was in the back.
Right.
Like, no, it was clearly going to show.
Right up front. But yeah. And then the car behind me put their blinker on, too, because
yeah,
we were both
like, pull in, let's take
whoa,
a look.
Yeah. So... We cleaned it up, you know, got the shampooer. We have one of those shampooers that was able to have the upholstery arm to clean it. And without that, I don't know if we would have gotten the stain out. But it is my new happy place.
Oh, good.
And it was free.
That is amazing.
So, I don't know. I just wanted to mention that on the front end of this discussion because we're going to be talking about some things today that... don't have to cost much to bring you a lot of happiness.
Yeah,
right?
And just, yeah, they can come from many sources, but just treasuring some things that have a story or you're going to make a story out of it.
Exactly. So we are here at the table again, y'all, with our friend Laura Roberts. Now,
hello.
you may have, if you're a faithful listener, you may remember Laura from our episode a while back on linens. We brought her on to discuss all things linens, and she just knocked it out of the park, and we just wanted to have her back. So,
thank you.
Welcome, Laura.
Thank you. I feel welcomed.
Good.
With the lovely pimento cheese and all the little nibbles that were here.
And she brought us something that I had never tried before.
Wickles.
Yeah,
yes. Pickled okra.
Pickled okra, and yeah,
and they're
I'm
Southern. The Wickles company, I think this is a Southern company.
Okay, well, it was good, and you
they
said
make
it was
pickles,
pretty...
they make relish, but I love the pickled okra.
Well, and that's a fun kind of thing to have on hand for when somebody pops in or comes by and you don't have time to run to the store.
That's right.
To
I
just have it on
keep
hand.
A jar of it in with my cocktail napkins.
Okay.
Where my bar is kept. Because I really do try to spontaneously ask people over, and I have done that. And if you have some little nibbles you can put out.
Yes.
You know, if you've got some kind of little wafer or cheese straw kind of thing. Now, my mother-in-law makes homemade cheese straws.
We've yes. talked about those on here before. We're
and
a fan.
And she's got that really cool vintage extruder. That,
oh,
yes.
Next level.
That Garden yeah. and Gun has written a whole article about that extruder. They don't make it anymore. It's Swedish or something.
Okay.
That is the holy grail of... cheese straw extruders, and my
wow.
mother-in-law has one, and she makes up tons of them. They freeze beautifully.
Yes.
Of course, most of us peons just buy
sure.
store-bought. The embarrassment.
Well, or
the
we have our lumpy looking,
yes,
right?
Which I've had before.
Oh,
but
I
better to buy your cheese straws from the store than all of your furnishings in your home.
That's exactly right.
So we're going to, or, you know, we're going to talk about
that.
How to
That's
make
exactly
your home
right.
more interesting
right.
and tell a story.
Yes. And, you know, I'll just brag on Laura one more moment before we jump in. One of the things that really, I don't know, this pulled on my heartstrings so much. I'm looking at my phone because I'm looking at a post that she put up back in May. And this is her table and the way she celebrated her Mother's Day. So I'm going to show Lainey because I don't know if I showed it to you.
You did.
But the way you celebrated your Mother's Day, you've set a table here and you had a friend over. And you...
We both are... This was my first Mother's Day without my mother. Her mother had passed several years, decades prior.
Okay.
But we were both without our mothers on Mother's Day. Mm. And so, and that was kind of spontaneous. I said, why don't you come over the Sunday evening of Mother's Day? My sweet husband and sons did a wonderful Mother's Day morning and made breakfast for me. But I said, you know what? Mother's Day evening, the gift to me is to just y'all go out to dinner. I'm going to have a friend over. And so that is my courtyard. I have a walled courtyard. And so we brought sterling silver frames of our mothers or little. I have my mother's, she loves Chanel number 5. So I've got her bottle of Chanel number 5.
I have chills.
So little, personal, very personal things that they touched and loved. And we wore their jewelry or pearls or rings or a pin or whatever. My friend came in a beautiful dress that was her mother's.
So, oh, my goodness.
Made their favorite cocktails.
Yes.
Nibbles.
That little nibbles, things that they would have approved of, little pedophores. My mother loved pedophores, so I knew I had to have pedophores. So,
wow. I want to be celebrated like this.
Absolutely.
When I'm long gone. Well, like, this is beautiful.
Well, and it was a very special evening, and it was a way to kind of honor them and for us to just have a little joyful, sad, bittersweet time, you know, telling each other stories. Our mothers didn't know each other. So just telling.
What if they got to have tea together, though, and watched you guys?
I just think they did. So you know they were.
Yeah.
Approving.
So. Absolutely.
That's special.
I felt like it was a good picture of sort of what we're going to talk about today in you having a great way to pay homage to the things that represent people. And
well,
those people
and everything
have stories.
On that table is old, you know, in that Instagram photo. Some of it is things I've inherited. Some of it is just things I've bought places.
Yeah.
Tag sales, estate sales online.
Yeah.
So I love old things.
I do too. And I love the whole concept of, I love nature. So when you watch a bird make a nest, it's the sweetest thing because they're going and pulling all these fibers and feathers and cat hair and all these things to make this nest and make it soft and sweet. And there's just something so special about that term of nesting.
That's right.
And making your home a place where there's softness.
I love that you said that.
You know,
I love that
like
you said that.
And so instead of just going to Restoration Hardware and loading up the truck of beautiful things.
Beautiful.
Certainly beautiful.
Right,
don't
get
me wrong. But there's not a whole lot of story there.
Right.
It's so fun when you found this at a sale and this was given to you and this was your mom's. And it just makes for such a special
It does.
Place.
Well, and I was going to say for those that, you know, like you don't have anything you inherited, okay? So Or you really wish that you had a relationship with some family that you would have gotten some things passed down.
And we definitely get that.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. So you don't. So there are things out there that I just feel like Laura will echo this as well, that person, had they even been able to share with you in person the story of where that came from, like what an homage and honor that you're paying.
Right.
By purchasing that from, you know, an estate sale or, you know, a tag sale or yard sale or eBay or, you know,
whatever,
I mean,
wherever the source.
Right. Whatever. So anyway, so we just kind of want to talk about some old things remembered and honored today. So Laura, start us out by just kind of telling us, how do you like to go about estate sailing, if you will?
Well, I do a little bit of everything. I do love estate sales. There's a great website. I don't know if y'all have ever used it, estatesales.net.
Yes.
Yep, love it. So for all of the listeners, because I assume they are all over the country. Now, I don't know if estatesales.net is international, but certainly here in the States, estate sales covers all 50 states.
Yes.
And it is just a clearinghouse of estate sales in your area. So every time I travel, I put in the zip code of where I'm going.
No, yes, I've never I done do. This. And why haven't I?
I shop everywhere I travel an estate sale.
Wow.
And so it's just all 50 states, and I guess some states have more than others, but it shows you what estate sales are in your area. And they have photos. You know, I mean, most of the estate sellers, I guess there's a few that don't, I guess it's up to the person operating the sale. But most of them know you want to have an idea of what's there.
Yeah.
And you can get an idea. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I don't even bother because I can tell by the photos. I think, that's not really my jam.
Absolutely. Yeah.
A lot of times you can tell pretty clearly, like, oh, this is all kind of frozen in the 1960s.
Yes.
Or this stuff is all super high-end,
yes.
You know, pre-1900s, you know, yeah. Real legit antiques. Or this person liked funky mid-century stuff or whatever. And yeah. When you get to scroll through the pictures, it gives you an idea of
absolutely
what's going to be there.
And they have a mailing list, so you can join
that's
the
exactly
mailing
right.
list even if you're not going to be traveling. Go ahead and get your
signed
zip
code
up for your
zip
code
area, and you get emails.
Yeah,
of
and
when,
regularly. I mean, like 3 or 4 a week at least.
There has to be 3 or 4. I think that's right.
Yeah,
I'm guess you and I are on the greater Nashville area or
yeah.
something
yeah.
like that.
Yeah,
and yeah, I get the same thing,
yeah.
several of them. And, you know, you click in, it's exciting. It's like,
it is.
Ooh, and I love it when it's an old house, and it's like, oh, please let it be, you know, what I want it to be.
Yes,
you know?
It's so true.
It does, because it has the address right there, because
yep.
they want you to come to the sale, obviously.
Yes.
So
yeah, they don't usually release the address until, like, maybe the day or two before,
just
so
before.
You're not
yes.
driving around the
I guess
street.
Trying to come
find,
in
yeah.
and knock on the door. I've
do
wondered
that
about
for
that.
Sales.
I bet that's what... I bet that's why
well,
that
that's
is.
That's wisdom and secure. But yeah, if you know your city well, you know, there are those streets that pop up and you're like, bingo, I'm going to that one.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. It's the neighborhood or something like that. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
Well, cool. So, you've gone through estate sales.
Go to estate sales. I do, of course, antique malls.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
So, you know, I mean, estate sales are going to be, and garage sales are going to be your thriftiest options. I mean, mm-hmm. if you're looking to save the most money, or if you're a reseller yourself,
mm-hmm.
because, you know, they're not going through an additional layer of retail. So, you know, the person who has it in the antique mall bought it at the estate sale, and then they mark
that's right.
it up.
That's right.
So I know, have recognized, maybe not by name, but I recognize a lot of the local antique dealers in Nashville, because I go to antique malls so much.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess they have antique malls all over the country. Do most people know what an antique mall is, you think?
I think so.
Well, it's like a big, you know, mall, a store, and it has these, it's broken up into booths that are maybe 10 by 10. I guess they could vary, though. Some are
yeah.
larger.
Yeah.
Where, and each booth is run by a different person.
Right.
And they price the things the way they want.
Yeah.
And the building, the antique mall, staffs it, you
yes.
know, and runs the cash register. So, you know, you're going to get when you see an antique mall, you're going to get a smattering of everything.
Yes.
You're going to get, you know, somebody that's into vintage, you know, beer signs, and you're going
right.
to get somebody in fancy porcelain. So,
yes.
And you could get to know perhaps the person whose booth you love.
That's exactly right.
And check
and
in
I
with
have.
Them. Like,
uh-huh.
hey, could you, if you find this, let me know.
That's
kind
right.
of a thing.
And follow them on Instagram if they have an Instagram. Mm. I have become Instagram friends with a few dealers that I like and have messaged them. And, you know, if they know that you love them and you love their things, they love that, and they're
yeah.
going to be more likely to give you a deal or quietly message you and say, hey, I know you love blank. I found, you know, a set of 12 whatevers
yeah.
that I know you're going to want, and we'll send you pictures of it, and you'll get kind of first crack at it.
That's
so,
fine.
That's
so,
very smart.
Yeah, so but you will see at estate sales, I know I recognize the faces of antique dealers that run booths. That I've seen fluffing booths shopping over the years. So they're buying the same things, and they're going to mark it up, which is fine. They need to do that. But the point is if you get it first, you're not paying their markup.
Exactly.
Of course.
So,
exactly.
You know, the estate sale and the tag sale, garage sale, are going to be your thriftiest options.
I would say garage sale even all the more.
Even all the more.
Because
that's exactly right.
Taking the estate sale company out.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right.
Now, you're not getting pictures of what's there.
You're not
getting
pictures
of what's there. So you're going to use more gas.
That's
but
right.
anyway.
That's true.
That's true.
Yeah, some people, this is all about the hunt, right?
It's all about the hunt. Yes, and I do. I enjoy. I'm not a reseller at all, but I do love the hunt. I love to go through that. You see those. My favorite is a church rummage sale.
Oh.
Because you get garage sale prices.
Yes.
And, you know, a lot of times it's kind of older ladies that are just getting rid of those vintage old things. And, you know, it may not necessarily be super high-end, you know, Sèvres porcelain or something like that, but just sweet, really beautifully made old things. And we'll talk about that, you know, because a lot of times just with older things,
quality's better.
I mean, sometimes there's junk. I mean, there were machine making things 100 plus years ago even, but in general you just get better quality.
Yes.
And so I love a church rummage sale. That we don't have so as great. Many in Nashville as I've seen in other cities, but okay. I love a church rummage,
you know, sale. Our church did a fundraiser at Christmas time this last year for the youth group, and they did bring Christmas decorations. We're going to do just a Christmas themed rummage sale.
I think that's so brilliant, you know.
Yeah. And so, I found a couple of good things there. But yeah, Christmas decorations are a fun thing to find at estate sales.
I love to find those little spun head, you know, 1950s, I guess, little elves. Oh,
yes.
Love to find
those.
Isn't
it fun, the things that bring us joy?
I know, the things. Yeah. I know.
Well, and just all the nostalgia that Christmas in general holds.
That's
it,
right.
Just feels like that's such a fitting item to have at an estate sale.
And there's just something so joyous about what you pull out for Christmas, and you think about the memories that are attached
that's
to
right.
the person or the time you found it at the sale or whatever.
And I will go into that first. So I have here this book. Y'all
okay.
can see it. I wish your readers could see it. I mean, your listeners could see it. It's a book that is some kind of old journal. You know, it was one of a set that I bought.
It's like something you'd see in an old lawyer's office.
An old lawyer's or accountant's office, yes. Something like that. And it was marked $12. There it is. And I started writing in it in 2013.
Okay.
So I've been writing in this for 7 years. So basically, I date, you know.
Whoa.
I've got the date that I bought something, where I bought it, if I was traveling, if I know something about it, you know, like sometimes I'll write over here on the side, like if I met, you know, sometimes at the estate sale, usually the person isn't there, but every now and then I've been in an estate sale where the homeowner is there.
Yes.
Or the child of the homeowner,
yes.
the adult child of, you know, maybe an elderly lady that's passed. And they'll say, you know, you can say, well, gosh, I've noticed all these, you know, teapots. And they'll say, Mama loved teapots. She would buy them everywhere, you know. And you hear this really sweet, precious, delightful story about how this woman cared for the frog figurines or the teapots or the whatever there's a ton of there, or, you know, her cookbooks, old cookbooks or whatever. So anything I know about that, I love to. But see, for me, that's part of what makes it special. But I love to get those stories and know. I'm a collector. I mean, it's not just my own family stories that I care about. I mean, I've got stories attached to things I've inherited, but I love to know about the lady.
I'm just smiling ear to ear thinking of this because, I mean, who does this, right?
So sweet.
I've never thought to collect and really sort of hold it.
Journal the story.
So important, journal it.
Well, so I can flip back, and it is like a journal, and I've said this before. So when I read back through here, I remember estate sales, or I've traveled, because I've told you I go to estate sales when I travel. And I always try to bring something back anytime I travel.
Yeah.
Like, that's not from, like, a new store. Like, I try to buy something vintage.
Yeah.
Even if it's just a weekend to Chattanooga, you know.
Uh-huh. Some Christmas ornament.
Right.
Kitchen
and it's
gadget.
Written here.
That's so
special. And this
special.
Is not really high-end stuff necessarily, although I do have some high-end things that I've bought, furniture, like real antiques, and they're in here too. But a lot of it's just something I bought for 99 cents at a Goodwill or an estate sale. So I can just flip through.
That is so cool.
Probably halfway through this book. And just I'll make notes about what I paid or what they told me about it or something like that, if I can find out.
Wow. That's
awesome.
Are you usually just retaining it and then you write it down later? Or do you ever bring that book in with
you? No, I don't bring the book
in.
They're like, boy, she's interesting.
I don't bring the book in, but I will just write it within a few days. I'll write it down. And I love to organize. I have a mind for desiring to organize. And so I will, as we talked about on the linen thing, if I bought linens, which I very often do, I will need to wash them immediately and start, you know, the process on them. So I will, whatever I buy, I bring in and start the process of cleaning or polishing if it's silver or whatever. And so writing down what I know about it is part
of it.
It's
part of your process.
I do it within a week, certainly, so I don't forget, because I forget.
Well, another reason I love this so much is I am like you in that I love to go find little treasures and old things. I can't say I go so far as to write them down. I wish I did. Yeah, but I look back on it, I'm like, oh, I wish I would have done that. But there is also, for me, sometimes I'm very relational. And so it's sometimes there's a difficult piece to estate sales and things where I'm looking at all this stuff going, wow, there's just strangers in here buying this stuff. There's like a weird factor. And I want to turn that into an uplifting good thing of like the story's going on. Not that it's so so that they're going now in many directions.
That's right.
Instead of sometimes I can feel like a heaviness.
Yeah.
And I think I shared with you one time, Laura, that I went to one sale in particular here in that in it was actually here in Franklin. And it was a woman. I'm not sure if she had ever married. If she had, her husband had passed a long time ago, because it was just female clothes in the closets and stuff.
Got it.
But I was so moved by the similarities of me and this person in our books on the bookshelf and art choices and things that it was kind of eerie for me in thinking through, like, wow, this could be my house and my bookshelf. And
absolutely.
And just one day, I wanted to buy a couple of the things just for that reason of, like, you know, you want.
Well, we all have that desire to live on, you know, and one way or another, we all have that. And I do feel connected to that, too, that kind of spirit of that.
Yeah.
And so I see things, and I do. I'm very similar in that regard.
And
so
I remember you saying you were hoping your boys, you know, you've tried to instill in your boys.
Yes, I've instilled in my boys. I hope they end up with spouses that love old things, too, because my boys, I think, are there. And pretty much, you know, because in the business, I think, I feel like antique dealers and others will call antiques, just in general, brown wood. And, you know, that's kind of the genre. They're saying that, you know, kind of the young millennials don't, well, I guess it's Gen Z is even younger than millennials. They don't really, neither one really is that interested in brown wood. And I think that kind of covers just old things in general a lot. So I, you know, and you know, but the funny thing is they also are very environmentally minded.
Right.
And to save these things from going into a landfill, and to also, you know, like by purchasing an old sugar bowl to use, you know, I showed you a picture of what's next to my stove. I keep salt in an old sugar bowl.
Yeah.
That's how I, you know, grab a pinch of salt when I'm cooking, is that I'm able to pinch right in because it's in a sugar bowl. Well, that just, my mother-in-law gave me that one. But that's the kind of thing that you can pick up and buy places. And by using that, I'm not sending money to a big box store.
Sure.
Encouraging them to make more sugar bowls. Yeah. Salt.
That may have been made. I mean, and in all seriousness, because I know in some of that heartstrings that generation carries, and it's really good. But, you know, some of that stuff's made by a 10-year-old in a
in
big
a factory. That's
right. They wouldn't be okay with that.
That's right.
There's many reasons why to do this.
And so if you're buying something vintage, number one, you know, it's already been made. The natural resources have already been expended making it.
Yep.
You know, the factory has already fired it.
That's right.
And so, you know, you also are preventing it from going into a landfill. Because I don't know what happens to things that don't sell in an estate sale. I don't know. But so it seems like the young generation would like older things.
Yeah. Maybe just need to do a campaign that they're aware.
Yes.
They're more aware.
Use your old things.
The selling points that we have just discussed.
True. It's true. Yeah. It's and I used an expression with you that I think you liked. You were like, oh, I might write that down. Why buy something new when something old will do?
So absolutely.
Most of what I buy, I rarely go into big box stores.
Yeah.
Except for, you know, things that expire, you know, shampoos and stuff like that. Yeah. I really don't buy much of that kind
after
of thing.
We talked, Laura, I have my receipt still on my clear plastic iced tea pitcher that I had just purchased.
Oh, yes. Don't make iced tea in a plastic pitcher.
This is just for, it's not for iced tea. I was just trying to give like the... I don't know how
description.
Else you would describe it. Yeah. But I have my receipt, so I'm holding on to it until I actually find a picture with a story.
That's right. A picture with a story. And that's and all
so,
of my
because I actually don't
stories.
Even need it right now. I just know at some point I'll need
it's coming.
A nice picture. Yeah. A nice tea picture. So, that's right. That's exactly right. So yes. All of my pictures came from estate sales and tag sales and just something that I liked the design. And some are small and some are large. And but, you know, you can get them all so cheap.
I know.
Well, that's what it's... I think sometimes people think exactly what, you know, well, I didn't inherit and I don't have a lot of fine things. Actually, some of this you can get cheaper than you can in stores.
Yes, for sure. You can. Certainly at a garage sale.
Yeah.
And really even at an estate sale. I mean, unless it's something, you know, that's legit Majolica or something like that and they know it and they've got it priced that way. But... it's certainly cheaper than if you went into any of your big box stores.
Right.
You know, you're going to pay 20, 30, 40, 50, you know. And if you go to a place that's a posh place, I mean, 100 and more.
Absolutely.
Well, and then you've got the charm of the old transferware or the old Paris porcelain or whatever your jam is.
Yeah. Well, everything we're describing is sort of in-person sales and going to... a place. So I'm curious, have you ever dabbled with online sales?
I do.
Okay. Talk to us about that.
Of course, there's, you know, Etsy and eBay.
Yes.
Which, of course, you know, everybody knows about and has used. But I have used an online estate sale, and there's several. There's one called that I haven't used. Is it Northgate Gallery? I think it's local and maybe Chattanooga based. But the one I've used most often is Everything But the House. And they used to have a larger presence here, and I don't know, I don't think they have a base here anymore.
Okay, okay.
But it doesn't matter. You don't need to feel worried about it. I mean, just go online and try it at some point in time.
They literally do have everything but the house. I mean, I have a friend who's bought big paintings and, like,
yes, you can get... you know, St. Louis crystal to garden rakes. I mean, there's just everything. I mean, there just really is everything in under the sun. So, you know, just get online. You have to put in your credit card information, I think, to begin with. And just
so it's like an auction. Is that
right? It is like an auction. Okay. It is. Okay. Now, there is no in-person. I think that Northgate one, and I need to look into it, I think there's also some in-person, but I'm not sure how that works. But... don't be scared of any of that is what I say. Put your credit card information in so that you're able to bid and just get on and find something inexpensive to bid on and just see how it goes.
Okay.
The problem with buying online, whether it's on Etsy or something like that, is you kind of, there's an element of just trusting what they are saying and you're trusting the seller and you have to just kind of put your faith in how they're describing it.
Yeah.
I don't think most sellers are trying to misrepresent things. Now, if you go to someplace like Sotheby's and you're going to buy something from their auction house, you're going to get exactly what is described and it's a vetted sale.
Yeah.
So it's going to be very high end and you're going to pay a lot of money.
And they have experts that know the different
areas. They have experts in
areas.
Chinese porcelain. They've got experts in ephemera and paper. Books and manuscripts, everything. It's going to be described absolutely accurately, and they won't take it in on consignment from a seller if it's not in good shape.
Okay.
So you know what you're getting, but you're going to pay
for
a premium for it, which is fine. And if you're there and you're that customer, then do it. But you can still purchase online, but you have to understand that you're kind of stepping out, and there's just an element of trust. They probably aren't trying to misrepresent it if they were to misrepresent it. But I have bought things online where I read the description, and it'll say vintage 1970s or something, but it's something that I know about. I can look at it and say, well, I think that's 1920s. I'm sure of it. I think they're wrong. You know? Yeah. And so...
So it could even work in your favor.
It can work in your favor. It can work against you. I've bought things before that I thought were something, and once I really got it and looked at it, I thought, I don't think that's as old as they say, or I don't think that's got the provenance that they say. So you have to know going into it, like, what is the most I will spend? Like, how much skin do I want in the game? Like, at what point will I be upset if I find out this is a fake or isn't what they've described?
That's a good way to look at it. That's another good
reason to track your purchases in a book like this.
True.
Even if you aren't a reseller, I track it because it helps to go back, and I think I put this in a YouTube video of mine. You know, like if you're into coin silver spoons or coin just coin silver flatware, if you can look back, I've got 7 years here. If I had bought coin silver the first entry, I could look back and see what a set of six coin silver spoons was selling for.
Well, that's brilliant just for that. Yeah.
Then you know, it helps you know, like, okay, how invested am I going to get in this? So that's why you should buy books. You should buy those auction journals when you can. I mean, those auction catalogs, scholarly journals about historic things and Southern decorative arts, if that's your thing, Southern decorative arts is. Whatever's your thing, buy books, buy auction catalogs that will tell you about them and educate yourself so that you know kind of what the market is and what things are supposed to look like. And And sometimes you buy it even if you see a chip and you know, oh, but it's chipped. And sometimes you just say, I don't care. I don't care. And if it's priced right, whatever.
I love that. Another thing you mentioned that you always buy if you're at an estate sale, you told me you always buy a scrapbook if they have one.
I do. And that kind of goes back to what you were talking about. I have a sense, I mean, and I do feel the same way when I go into an estate sale, particularly, a lot of times they call it an estate sale, but it's just somebody moving and
it's a smaller space, you know,
and they just are called generically estate sales. It's somebody that's alive and well and just downsizing and moving to another city or whatever. But a lot of times you can tell it has the feel of somebody that has passed away and, you know, the estate is trying to kind of tie everything off and sell the items. And I do also have kind of a bittersweet feeling about that. There's sadness to it, you know. And I, you know, you kind of are hoping, like, I hope the family went through and whoever's left took some of her things, you know. And so you're hoping that, you know, you don't know. But I do have a bit of sadness, but a bit of preciousness and joy about it, too. Because I do want that person to live on, even though I never met her or him. So I do, when I find scrapbooks, and that is something that is sad to me that I see in estate sales, but I see scrapbooks, and I will buy someone's scrapbooks. Of course, I don't know the faces, I don't know, you know, but a lot of them, they have vintage 1930s and 40s and 50s greeting cards and Christmas cards, and I will buy it because I hate the thought that it might, I just put them on a bookshelf. I don't know what to do with them. I just can't let them get thrown away. So I do buy scrapbooks when I find them. I probably got 5 or 6.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's precious.
And then you do some really cool things with displaying photos, too. You had showed us a couple pictures of things. And I wanted our listeners to hear about that as well.
So I tell you an interesting thing about photos. And I don't know, do listeners respond ever on your Instagram?
Oh, for sure.
I would love for people to comment on this, because I'd always heard growing up, and I'm curious what y'all's thoughts are on this, that you are not supposed to have framed photos in your home of people that are still alive.
I've heard that.
The protocol is in public spaces. Now, in private spaces, you could have, you know, like in your bedroom, on your bedside table, pictures of your children. But in public spaces, Have you heard that?
I mean, I've never practiced that.
You don't practice it. Yeah.
But I've heard that.
Kind of practice it. I kind of mostly practice it. I do tend to keep pictures of, like, my boys, my teenagers.
In your room.
In my room.
Uh-huh.
I keep a couple out. I have, I think, one or two out of them. But the majority of my photos that are out in common spaces are, like, the old... Some of them are just 70s. Some of them go back to, you know, 1800s. photos.
So do you think it's just like a mode to not be prideful or to not be
I've always
showy?
Wondered about that. So I hope maybe somebody that's listening knows and will comment.
Yeah.
And I'll read the comments because I'm kind of curious. But I'd always heard that.
I think actually the way I had heard it was a little different was that you're not supposed to have any photos of yourself in public spaces.
Yourself in public spaces.
So now this is funny because I remember being in college and there was a girl that had a like 8x10 of herself in her room and it was so odd to me. Like beyond odd.
Right.
And so I kind of always just didn't really want photos of myself in my house. I don't mind if my mom and dad do that or anything, but like for me it felt weird. Well, we had this painting of me from my teen years that literally had been in a closet for at least 20, 25 years. One of my friends, Susan Tyler, had been over here. We were going through some stuff. She saw it and she's like, "Why do you not have this out?" Now, this is somebody who literally has so much heritage and even in the foundation of America. It's like she's really tied to a lot of
She's a presidential descendant.
She's a presidential descendant. Like, and so I said, "Well, I don't know. I feel weird having it out." And she said, "No, you need to have it out." So I changed that and hung it. But then, I don't know.
Do you still think about it sometimes of like, oh, should I, should I not?
Well, it's probably only been hanging for about 2 or 3 years.
Yeah.
And so I don't know. I'm just kind of throwing that out.
I think like, portraits
is it
prideful?
Because
I
don't
portraits are an
want
exception.
That at all. Like, yeah. I'll move it tomorrow if that's...
My impression was that portraits would be different.
Agreed.
Like a painted portrait. It's actual photographs.
Okay. Yeah.
So I don't fully practice it. Mostly I practice it. So, mm-hmm. I wouldn't...
That is so interesting.
I know, it's
though.
Interesting.
So, really
I would love
is.
For your listeners to comment if they have thoughts on that. So, that would be a fun kind of
but
learning
your
thing.
Photo displays
so,
were gorgeous.
I buy the old frames. And again, mm-hmm. you can find them at estate sales. Now, maybe not sterling ones, although I have found some sterling ones that they don't, I guess, know are sterling. But certainly just vintage ones for $1, you know.
Wow.
And but I love to buy the old sterling ones and put pictures in those. But if I have a lot of old photos out at my house. But I do also, I tuck them into the corners of frames on the wall. It's kind of how I scrapbook.
Mm-hmm.
I will hang things on a picture frame. So I've got my husband's grandfather's watch fob. That is just hanging, because what do I do with that?
Right. If it's in a drawer, nobody's ever going to see it.
If it's in a drawer, no one's ever going to see it, but it lives on. And, you know, when I look at that, I never met him, but I've asked and I know so many great stories about my husband's grandfather. So when I see it, it's got his initials on it. And he was a veterinarian in Greenville, Mississippi, and it's got a little veterinarian's thing on it, on one end, a fob. And so I look at that hanging just on a frame in my den.
Yeah.
And because what else would I do with
right.
it? I mean, there's nothing, nobody wears a vest anymore and a watch. And so there's no need for a watch fob. So I don't know what we would do with it. But I look at that and I think about my husband's grandfather.
That's
and
cool.
How much William loved him and the sentimental stories. So that's how... So he's living. So, you know, it's like the sweet old lady that's passed away, you know, in the estate sale. Well, now this is something that's actually connected to my family. It's not an estate sale purchase, but he's living. When I look at that, for that instant, you know.
That's right.
He lives here on earth.
His legacy goes on.
That's right. His legacy goes on. So,
that's so good.
Yeah.
And I'm even thinking it's good that there's been this... I don't know if it's a resurgence or if it was a new idea of these sort of gallery walls that people are doing more with the mismatched frames and just everything sort of stacked on each other.
Yep.
It really gives more opportunity to display photos, to hang
an old mirror.
Well,
you could do so many
the mismatched
things.
Frames that you buy at estate sales.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, if budget is truly, you know, you just are on the tightest budget ever, you can just buy dirt cheap frames and,
you
know, put different, pop different art into them. But if you buy a cheap frame at Goodwill or something like that and put it up on a gallery wall, I love that. Yeah. So it's a very thrifty option. And that is definitely one of, I've got kind of, you know, there's kind of several main reasons to buy old things. But as we've talked about, budget is one of them, because I don't think you could go into a big box store, even on the lower end where you might find something cheaper, like maybe West Elm, and do a gallery wall. Right. I mean, a full size gallery wall for under $1,000.
Right.
Yeah.
Because I mean, if you're going to put like 13, 15 things on a gallery wall, it's just, I mean, the cost is just going to go up, up, up.
That's true.
So cost is definitely one thing. Quality, as we talked about.
Sure.
Not everything that's old is better quality, but in general.
In general, yeah.
In general, yes. In general, it does tend to be a better quality.
And if it's German or Swiss made.
That's right. You just always, that's right. You just tend to get improved craftsmanship and quality.
Yeah.
And of course, character, you know. Yes. Just, again, it's like you're not just walking in and like buying everything from the whatever line at whatever big box store. So layer, you know, you're layering in things in your interiors.
And it shows like some of your travel. That's or some of your, some of your family story or whatever.
And it just brings a timelessness to a home, and it just makes it very personal. And I know I say that a lot, but for me, I want my home to be very personal. I don't want anyone to mistake my home for anyone else's. Yeah. If I have you for dinner, I want it to feel personal. I want you to eat something I personally cooked that feels personal.
And I love that you've said before, you don't want your house to look like anyone else's house.
I don't want my house to look like anyone else's.
Yeah.
No.
And for it to be that different, even though it's primarily assembled from other people's things.
I know, that's exactly right.
The irony of that, right?
Well, but you know,
collectively, it's never been seen before.
That's right.
That's right.
That collection has never been before.
That collection has never been before.
And, it, you know, this really goes for clothing, too, for people. Maybe they're not into the house, but it's so much more fun if somebody's like, oh, I like that hat. If it has come from some story, that's so much more fun than I found it at Macy's.
I agree. I agree 100%. And we've all gone into Macy's and bought a hat.
We're
going to Steeple Chase or something, and there's nothing wrong with that. But there is, you know, it's a conversation starter.
Absolutely.
For sure.
And we in the South love those, too.
Oh, we do love a conversation, don't we?
Gosh, and I'm even thinking, you know, this is a whole other tangent, but just, you know, the way that our lives online have somewhat decreased our ability to have good conversations.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
It almost is softballing some, you know, it's almost like providing table topics, you know.
It absolutely does.
So even I'm just even thinking for that purpose, if you're one that seems to just really struggle with, you know, talking, if you're so introverted that you don't know what stories to share, whatever, these are just softballing opportunities.
That's exactly right.
And even going back to our linens and dishware, like if you set the table with these things that came from different places, you're literally setting the table for discussion.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Yeah.
That's exactly right. Yeah. So,
so do it.
Do it. Do it, buy it, and use it. And don't be frightened of it. Don't keep it away, because it's not living if it's in a cabinet. So, you know, I showed you a picture of, as I said, I mentioned the tray next to my stove where I keep all my cooking implements. So the spatulas are all in an old silver plate pitcher that a girlfriend, a precious friend, gave me. Mm-hmm. You know, it's an old, the tray is a tray that belonged to my grandmother. The sugar, the covered sugar that holds salt, my mother-in-law gave me. Well, there's a picture of it on my Instagram, so you can go see it. But that's how I cook, you know, and so why have those things? I would never, I mean, I'm day in and day out, I don't ever hardly use silver trays. Mm-hmm. Once or twice a year, I'll have some kind of function where I use a silver tray. But, you know, most of us aren't using those regularly like they used to use them. So how does that thing live? How does my grandmother live? Here on Earth, anyways. Well, she's reminded, I'm reminded of her when I look at that every time I cook.
So
well, that's
good.
Now, you know, multiple times a day, you know. So we're all, you know,
I love it. I love it. Well, if this hasn't nudged you to go check out an estate sale or sign up for their newsletter or,
go buy those old things.
Do it online. I don't know what will. So, Laura, thank you for being here with
us.
It's always a pleasure. You guys can find Laura on Instagram at Laura Stockett Roberts. I'll link to it in the show notes. And I will leave you with this. Peace be with you.
And also with y'all.
See y'all.
Y'all too.
Hi, Drew and Jonathan Scott here, reminding you that a lot of life's firsts are better with help from American Family Insurance. Like your first home expansion or your first big lightning strike. There's a first for everything. Get the right home policy at the right price with the right help from American Family's agents. Life's better when you're under American Family's roof. Insure carefully, dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.